by Anna Lapp. As I head back from Cali, Colombia, after attending the Convention on Biological Diversity this week, I've been thinking a lot about the attempts by countless advocates around the world to take on one of the biggest drivers of biodiversity collapse, toxic pesticides. Reducing the use of pesticides is one of the key ways we can help beneficial insect species rebound, protect vital pollinators, ensure thriving aquatic ecosystems, and much more, all while protecting human health. With all that we know about the benefits to biodiversity of reducing pesticides, why haven't we made more progress in tackling these toxic substances? The latest clue came to us last month thanks to an investigation by Lighthouse Reports, which revealed that the Trump administration had used taxpayer dollars to fund a pesticide industry public relations, or PR, operation targeting advocates, journalists, scientists, and United Nations officials around the world calling for pesticide reforms. The investigation exposed the details of a private online social network, funded by U.S. government dollars, with detailed profiles of more than 500 people, a kind of Wikipedia meets doxing of pesticide opponents. It showed how the network was activated to block a conference on pesticide reform in East Africa, among other actions. My interest in the leaked private network is also personal. I'm one of those profiled and attacked for working on numerous reports, articles, and education campaigns on pesticides. In my dossier, I'm described among other things as collaborating on a campaign alleging pesticide companies use tobacco PR tactics to hide health and environmental risk. Guilty as charged. While it may be creepy to read an industry-funded dossier on you online, it pales in comparison to what other pesticide industry critics have faced. There's Tyrone Hayes, PhD, the esteemed University of California, Berkeley, professor, who has persevered through a years-long campaign to destroy his reputation by the pesticide company Syngenta, whose herbicide atrazine Hayes's exacting research has linked to endocrine disruption in frogs. There's journalist Carrie Gillum, who faced a Monsanto-funded public relations onslaught for raising substantive questions about the safety of the company's banner herbicide product, Roundup. There's Gary Hooser, former Hawaii State Senator and Kauai County Council member who weathered a barrage of industry attacks for his advocacy for common sense pesticide reform, a barrage so effective he lost his seat in office. The list goes on. Why develop elaborate attacks on journalists and scientists raising serious concerns about your products? It's simple: when you don't have science on your side, you have to rely on slime. This latest exposé does not surprise me, of course, nor many colleagues who are also listed in this private online network. I've been tracking industry disinformation and its attacks on those working to raise the alarm about the environmental and human health impacts of pesticides for decades. This is what companies do. They try to defame, marginalize, and silence scientists, journalists, and community advocates who raise concerns about the health harms of their products. Growing up, I saw this up close. My father, the toxicologist and epidemiologist Mark Lapp, was a professor of medical ethics and a frequent expert witness in legal cases where chemicals were a concern. He died at age 62 of brain cancer. By the time he passed away, I had heard countless tales of his legal wranglings in depositions and on the stand. Cases where he served as an expert witness for lawsuits on behalf of people harmed by exposure to dangerous chemicals, lawsuits against some of the biggest chemical companies in the world. The defense attorney's strategy with my father was always the same: undermine his expertise and rattle his equanimity so juries would trust well-paid lawyers, not my dad. There was the time they quoted an excerpt of one of his journal articles to make it sound like he was contradicting himself, which backfired when he asked the lawyer to read for the jury the rest of the paragraph, putting the words in context and solidifying his point. The worst story was from a trial not long after my stepmother died in a tragic accident, leaving behind my three younger half-siblings. As my dad walked to the stand, one of the defense lawyers said under his breath, "Mark, how was Mother's Day at your house this year?" Slime indeed. But while they have the slime, we have the science. We know that many of the pesticides now ubiquitous in industrial agriculture are linked to serious health concerns, from attention deficit/hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, to infertility, Parkinson's, depression, a swath of cancers, and more. The insecticide chlorpyrifos is so toxic there are no determined safe levels for children or infants. Paraquat, linked to Parkinson's, is so acutely deadly a teaspoon of the stuff can kill you, something its largest producer, Syngenta, has known for decades. And 2,4-D, the defoliant used in the Vietnam War to wipe out forest cover in that country has been linked to birth defects among children there, and in the US, even decades after the war. The threat to biodiversity is severe, too. A 2019 comprehensive review of more than 70 studies around the world powerfully tied widespread pesticide use to insect declines worldwide. And, as reported in the A Pesticide Atlas, I edited the US edition, despite these known risks, pesticide use is increasing in many regions of the world. In South America, pesticide use went up 484% from 1990 to 2017. In Brazil, alone, pesticide sales have shot up nearly 1,000% between 1998 and 2008. Thanks to this investigation, we now have another example of how the pesticide industry tries to shift attention away from these very real concerns, even using taxpayer dollars to do it. As I land in Colombia, where tens of thousands are gathered to envision a world conducive to thriving biodiversity, I hope this reporting will remind policymakers to rely on science, not spin. Originally published by Common Dreams. Anna Lapp is the executive director of the Global Alliance for the Future of Food, which just launched a tool for policymakers to integrate food and farming system innovations that reduce the use of pesticides.